You can call someone ugly, and that's a nice shady way of calling someone basic nowadays. Welcome to We Know About, the show where we discuss about dumb things people are doing for and again and again and again.
Oh my god, your tan lines are so good. How do you do this?
So I've been thinking about this for ages, and I've reached through where I do the best thinking. I'm Gun. I'm from the We Know About team.
I'm Alex, also from the We Know About team.
And today we're talking about acid rain and power plants.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this because I do not know anything about it.
Well, what are your memories about acid rain?
For me, acid rain was just the world itself, acidic rain.
Well, as I grew up, I didn't know pretty much until we did research about this.
Can you explain what are the causes of acid rain?
Well, before we get to that, I think we should explain the term of acid rain first. So the term acid rain was coined by 1852 by Scottish chemist Robert Angus Smith.
Angus? What is that beef name?
Well, I guess it might be a beef name, I'm not really sure, but, well, that's off topic. According to the Royal Society of Chemistry, which calls him the father of acid rain, Smith decided on the term while examining rainwater chemistry near industrial cities in England and Scotland.
England and Scotland?
Yeah, England and Scotland. But I'm thinking, what did happen in the United States in the 1950s?
Oh, I can tell that. In the 1950s, scientists in the United States started studying the phenomenon, and in the 1960s and early 1970s, acid rain became recognized as a regional environmental issue that affected Western Europe and Eastern North America. Though man-made pollutants are currently affecting most acidic precipitation, natural disasters can be a factor as well. For example, volcanoes can cause acid rain by blasting pollutants in the air. These pollutants can be carried around the world in jet streams and turn into acid rain far from the volcano.
Well, I have a good example about this. After an asteroid wiped out the dinosaur 65 million years ago, sulfur trioxide was blasted into the air. When it hit the air, it turned into sulfuric acid, generating a downpour of acid rain, according to the paper published in 2014 in Journal Nature Geoscience.
Wait. Even before that, 4 billion years ago, it is suspected that the air may have had 10,000 times as much carbon dioxide as today. Geologists from the University of Wisconsin-Madison backed up this theory by studying rocks and publishing the results in 2008 issue of the journal Earth and Planetary Science Letters. At those levels of carbon dioxide, you would have had vicious acid rain and intense greenhouse effects. That is the condition that will dissolve rocks, set by the team member John Valley.
Well, early Earth measured by acid rain, sulfur dioxide and nitrogen oxides released in the air by fossil fuel power plants, vehicles and refineries, and biggest cause of acid rain today, according to the EPA. 2/3 of the sulfur dioxide and 1/4 of nitrogen oxide found in the atmosphere come from electric power generators. Well, chemical reaction happens when sulfur dioxide and nitrogen oxide mix with water, oxygen and other chemicals in the air. Then they become sulfuric and nitric acid that mix with precipitation and fall to the ground. Precipitation is considered acidic when pH level is about 5.2 or below.
According to an Encyclopedia Britannica, the normal pH of rain is around 5.6.
Well, to explain this, from 7 is like normal water, and 5 to 6 is 10 times, so it's log 10. So if it's 5 to 7, then 5 is 100 times more acidic than 7. And 7, a good example of water.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk about effects of acid rain. Acid rain affects nearly everything. Plants, soil, trees, buildings, and even statues can be transformed by the precipitation. Acid rain has been found to be very hard on trees. It washes away the protective film on their leaf.
Whoa. By providing the only preserved soil in the world collected before the acid rain era, the Russians helped out our international team track tree growth for the first time with changes in the soil from acid rain. That Greg Lawrence, a U.S. Geological Survey scientist, who headed the effort. We've known that acid rain acidifies surface waters, but this is the first time we've been able to compare the track tree growth in forests that includes soil changes due to acid rain.
Wait. Do you know that acid rain can also change the composition of soil and bodies of water?
Hmm, that's interesting.
Like, so, making them uninhabitable for local animals and plants. For example, healthy lakes have a pH of 6.5 or higher. As acid rain rises, the level of acidity, fish tend to die off. Most fish species can't survive a water pH of below 5. When the pH becomes 4, the lake is considered dead according to National Atmospheric Deposition Program. It can additionally deteriorate limestone and marble buildings and monuments like gravestones.
Wait, so that means one day when I go out to the street, I can find a pond that is so acidic that the fish are all gloomy.
Why not?
Oh, that's kind of interesting. Well, people are making solutions to this. Well, Tom Sarkis and his colleagues are trying to come up with a solution that a National Energy Technology Laboratory.
It's one of the Department of Energy's 17 national laboratories, and we focus on taking fossil energy and making clean energy from them.
Fossil energy comes from the ground. The NETL is world-leading centers of research with this energy sources and how to make them cleaner.
With several years of congressional debates, and we decided to develop a portfolio of technologies that could be applied at power plants of different designs and different configurations. It was quite a comprehensive effort. It was called the Acid Rain Control R&D Program, and you know, we tried to study the problem.
NETL solutions fit into two main categories. You have the scrubbers, which attach to the smokestack, and essentially clean sulfur dioxide. And you have measures for the fuels are being burnt that limit the amount of NOx produced when in first place.
Probably in the 1984, 1985, 1986 time frame, we had a number of technologies ready to go.
And those technologies were effective. In some cases, they could capture up to 90% of the pollutants causing acid rain. But of course, they weren't free. Power plant owners weren't going to just install a costly scrubber out of the goodness of their hearts. There needed to be an economic reason for them to cut down on these pollutants.
Every American expects and deserves to breathe clean air. And as president, it is my mission to guarantee it for this generation and for generations to come. Well, as we used to say in the Navy, mission defined, mission accomplished, and today I am very proud on behalf of everyone here to sign this Clean Air Bill, Clean Air Act of 1990. This landmark legislation will reduce air pollution each year by 56 billion pounds. That's 224 pounds for every man, woman, and child in America. And it'll go after the three main types of air pollution: acid rain, smog, and toxic air pollutants. This bill will cut emissions that cause acid rain in half and permanently cap them at these new levels.
Thank you, we know about, and we will see you next time.